All right, folks, we are back on the flagstick.com Tea Talk podcast. Stefan Tiedorf here, as per usual, with my co-host, Scott McLeod. Scotty, how are you today?
I'm doing all right, man. You?
I'm okay. You know, I'm grumpy. It might come out at some point in the podcast.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little grumpy. I mean, for many reasons, which we'll get to. I might be the old man yelling at clouds this week.
Nice. Good. Somebody else needs to take that role for a change.
Exactly. We also have a new voice to bring in. We hinted this guy's been helping us out for the last couple episodes and now officially on the team. Brendan Kennedy, our new producer. What do you want to be called around here?
Yeah, I guess that works. I mean, audio mixer, editor, producer, something like that. That could work.
That's what awkward on a business card.
Yeah, what looks best on a resume, man? You got to do a better job.
I don't use resumes anymore. I don't know.
COO. We'll give you COO. I mean, apparently you can just make up any job title nowadays for yourself if you run a business. Like, we'll call this a business, right? Sure.
Sure, why not?
A lot of money coming in that we're trying to diversify. Yeah. We're not desperate for sponsors. No, not at all. But yeah, Brendan, why don't you give a quick rundown of your job, your career? We hinted, you know, doing some stage sound now for the Canadian rock band, the Glorious Sons. But give us a quick breakdown of yourself.
Yeah, so for the last 8 years, I've been a touring audio engineer for various bands, including the Glorious Sons, as you mentioned. But with the pandemic, obviously that has stopped touring and stuff. So figured what a better way of still kind of getting my audio chops by helping you guys out with mixing and editing the podcast.
Yeah, we appreciate
And I started
that.
Golfing because I've been off the road. So that,
that's even better. That's even better. Yeah, I want to hear about your golf experience so far. I mean, obviously your audio resume is pretty impressive, but, you know, you diving into the game. I mean, why did you want to start playing this silly game?
Well, I guess 2-3 years ago, I went to Hawaii for a wedding and I played as a kid a little bit, but I was more into baseball. So golf kept screwing up my baseball swing. So I didn't golf that much and then just kind of fell out of it. But then when I went to Hawaii, I was going for a friend's wedding and he wanted to play golf. And I said, what better spot to play than Hawaii? And I really enjoyed it. And then played a couple times here and there, well on tour in various places. And, then when the pandemic hit, it was like one of the only things you could do. And a couple of my buddies play. So I figured I'd pick it up and I started playing quite a lot. Still not very good. I switched hands halfway through the year. That's an interesting bit. But
I got text. I realized what was wrong. And I was like, what do you mean? It's like, I'm left-handed. Like, yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, like I mentioned, I played left and it screwed up my baseball swing a lot. So I switched to playing right. And then when I got back into golf, I started playing right. And I said, this is not going very well. Picked up some left clubs, hit the driving range, figured, oh, wow, this is much better. So, I mean, it's still not great, but it was better. So we'll go from there. Still putt right though.
What's the equivalent of that in audio? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I'm sure there's many. I can't think off the top of my head here, but yeah.
From a guitarist to a drummer.
I guess that could be it, right?
Yeah.
That is good. This is going to turn into an interview of you, but we will get to our usual content. You brushed over your past also before this. You did a lot of tour management stuff as well. Let's say almost like the caddy of touring bands. Like, here's the right decisions you need to be making at the right times. Did you ever have to find a guy on a golf course to get them to back to a show or anything along those lines?
No, I've been pretty lucky working with some pretty professional people in the sense of not having to drag anyone off a golf course or anything. But yeah, I think I've seen a couple guys pull their clubs out of the bottom of the bus and head to the course, and that's kind of what got me back into it as well. But yeah.
That's got to be sweet. Are guys able to get into like nicer clubs and stuff, just like, hey, we're the touring band in town? I know some of the guys in the Glorious Sons play a little golf, but not like the most avid golfers. But have you seen, you know, guys been able to, you know, find their way onto golf courses that the average public like you're not gonna be, hey, I'm a touring audio engineer of a band in town, can I come play?
No, I unfortunately don't know if in the golf community rock and roll guys have the clout to just walk onto these nice courses, but maybe one day, hopefully that's a new goal.
All right. We like it. We're looking forward to having you on. You're going to hear Brennan throughout many episodes, and we'll be introducing him. And who knows, maybe he'll chime in with some thoughts here and there and drop some knowledge on us and get us some tour stories. But I think the most exciting part, this opens up a wide array of guests that we haven't even dabbled in from the music industry. We obviously have had Taggart on here before, formerly of Our Lady Peace, but you know, anybody and everybody in the Canadian music scene and in the U.S. music scene. So we're looking forward to seeing some of those guests in the future. I'm not going to give anybody away right now. Brendan's working on that. So, you know, maybe he's tour managing us now, Scotty. Maybe we got to get a tour going, you know?
I love it. Well, we're going to have to do some, maybe some golf lessons in the reciprocation to help you out there a little bit.
Yeah, you do have an advantage here with Scotty being a PGA professional. He can help you out. We'll see if we can get you into some new sticks too. Those look like they need an upgrade.
Oh yeah, definitely. I found my brother's old clubs out of the sauna, out of my parents' old sauna.
Oh, so boy,
there we go.
Why were they in the sauna?
That's where they store stuff. They don't use it.
All right, well, Scotty, you want to get to the week that was?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. Well, every week we start with our birdie, par, bogey, and honorable mention. If you listen to last week's episode, Scotty and I, at the end of each episode, we pick three players, and we've decided we're going to put a bottle of wine on that. If one of the guys you pick is right and wins, didn't think it would happen in week two, they win a bottle of wine. Scotty last week picked Colin Morikawa. Colin Morikawa picks up a win. So, Scott, what bottle of wine am I buying you?
Well, you know what? You mentioned Decoy last week, and you were into the red. Maybe something from Decoy in a white. How's that? Why don't you investigate that and see what you come up with?
All right.
I know they've got a Chardonnay, so.
A Decoy maybe that's Chardonnay? The one. All right. Yeah. All right, I will bring that over for the opening of your studio soon. Your, you know, the launch monitor, TrackMan's on its way. We're looking forward to that. But yes, my birdie of the week is Colin Morikawa. Not for the sake of him winning per se, but just this guy's entire career at this point that I really think we're underestimating where this kid's going. And I remember the early questions we used to get about Matt Wolf or Colin Morikawa, who's going to win mm-hmm. first, and this guy hadn't missed a cut yet. His iron play is so good. This guy could be a superstar in the making here. I know it's early, you know, but this last year's been hot. Picked up a win at a major, you know, picking up wins left and right. WGC is a good thing to add to the resume. He's fun to watch, you know, doesn't care how it looks. Went to the claw grip. Hate the claw grip, but it's working for him. So he's my birdie of the week. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's you know, strong game, obviously, as you said, you know, magnetic personality. A lot of people really like what he does, and as you said, he's already won a major, already picked up a WGC, and he's only 24 years old. So four PGA Tour wins, first guy to win a major and a WGC before second guy after Tiger, I believe, under the age of 25. Is that the case?
Yeah, something like that, and all. Obviously,
some baseball stat.
Inside baseball, yeah. Obviously, his interview after the week was awesome, too. Just kind of thanking people while they're here. When we recorded last week, you know, we didn't know what was going on with Tiger. We have the details now. Everyone's heard them. We don't need to go into them further. And pretty serious stuff. Sounds like he will make a full recovery. You know, still monitoring him. And just being able to say thank you to somebody like Tiger before it's too late. I thought that was awesome. Heard a great interview on Overdrive with Steve Sands. And he was highlighting that conversation with Colin. And Colin, I guess, right after walked up to him. And usually he said, like, once you hear in your ear, you're done. That means the camera's cutting off you. Well, the camera didn't cut off of him as they're walking away, and you see Steve put his arm around him, and they asked him what that conversation was about, and I guess Colin just said, "You made me cry on TV," and Steve felt bad because it was the fact that they're engaging shouldn't have even been on TV in his eyes, but he's like, "Hey, it was a good conversation. This is why." And he literally just thanked him for showing his personality, and I think that's what we need more in the game of golf.
100%. And, you know, a guy that's always showed his emotions and, you know, has that same sort of personality is my birdie of the week, Mike Weir, who obviously is a Canadian hero, you know, won 8 times on the PGA Tour. But this is a guy who went through a lot of injuries. And, you know, from 2010 on, I mean, his game was in a very dark place. And, you know, he's obviously fought back now, joined the Champions Tour, almost got win on the weekend. Obviously had the lead, four-stroke lead through eight holes in the final round. Didn't manage to get it done, but you know, it's his second place finish in 12 starts on the tour. He's getting close, and I think all of Canada is behind him, and I think anybody who's followed his story, not only his successes, you know, winning the Masters, and he won a WGC as well, but the fact that, you know, he's fought through it and he's put in the work and didn't give up. I mean, he could have just, you know, counted his cash and went home and went skiing and never saw the golf course again, but that's not him. And I think he's in a good place in his life, and I think fans are really embracing this success that he's had so far.
Yeah, you almost want to give a bogey to Kevin Sutherland for chipping in on that. Like that, like, I mean, at the end of the day, though, like, we're giving a birdie, Mike Weir, for all that. Like, the back nine really was not a birdie. You know, you're three clear going into the back nine for your first Champions Tour win with his career. Like, you got to find a way to finish that, which he will. But, you know, that I'm not calling it a choke. It's just not a finish that you want to see. And it'll be a learning lesson. It's crazy to say that for a guy that's in his 50s and has been there before. But it's a different type of tour out there, right? Nobody's out of it ever. There's no cuts, so you can't just assume that, you know, you have the gas and nobody else does, right? And that's basically what happened. It was unfortunate, but he'll get back. It was a good week for him. I think he learned a lot, and hopefully he doesn't hang on to that too long. So you got your birdie, I got my birdie. Where do you want to go next? Do you want to go in order? You got something on your mind?
Nothing in particular. I mean, obviously par is the one that we waffle around every week. It's the sitting on the fence. You don't think it's great. You don't think it's terrible, but, I'll just throw mine out there right now. You know, Nelly Korda, getting a win. You know, this girl's been playing great. Get her fourth win. First time she's won on American soil on the LPGA Tour, but this time she did it not only at you know, a club that she's very familiar with, but she got to do it in front of her parents as well. So I would say for everyone, you know, it's expected, but it was fun to see, and I would expect more from her. So again, like I said, not unexpected, but certainly something that's very significant, I think.
Yeah, shout out to Annika too, making the cut 13 years later.
Have you seen her percentage, her made cut percentage? I think for her career is like 97%.
That's insane.
Yeah, just it shows is insane
how far away she was, like, being so good back then. I mean, didn't have the greatest weekend, grinding it out to make the cut, and that's a win in its own right. And doesn't sound like we're gonna see her anytime soon.
No, she's gonna play the U.S. Senior Women's Open, and that was part of the reason why she played in this event. Not only with, you know, also because it was at her home club, but she wants to get a little bit more competitive and be ready for that championship. But you know, it's not intending to play the LPGA. This is just sharpening her skills.
Sure, we'll allow it. Okay, so you had your par. My par for the week is gonna be it's a quick par. I'm looking at the future here. It's the sixth hole at Bay Hill this week, and that is that famous 555 yard par five that John Daly put a nice 18 up back in the day, followed up with a birdie though. the talk all week is, will Bryson go for it? Will he try the 355 yard carry all over water and go for the green? Now, here's why it's a par for the week. We've done this sing and dance with Bryson before. I forget the exact golf hole.
Last
year, but I forget which hole it was. It was one like that in particular, you know, big carry thing. It was like 340 over water. He didn't do it. It was all talk all week and all his press conference. And that's where it's a par, where it's like, this is going to be a quick bogey next week, and it might be my bogey if he doesn't go for it. And then at that point, I'm done with his press conferences. I'm sick of this whole, oh, I'm going to try this. Like, listen, like, look at me. And then he bails out, and he's going to hit an iron off the tee, and it's going to drive me nuts. I'm going to be pissed. So it's a par right now because it could be an absolute eagle. Regardless, if he puts up a 10, it's an eagle to me. Or if he puts up an eagle, you know, it's an eagle to me. That's where I'm at. I don't know what's going to happen. That's why it's a par. It excites me, but if he lets me down, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, he was trying to do it in the practice round, but unfortunately the wind was in and to the right. It was the same hole. It's actually about 340 to cover the water, 355 usually kind of where the pin is. And last year on the Sunday, he hit one 340, but it wasn't right at the green. So people were all of a sudden getting excited and going, well, you know, he can do it. Well, that's great. But again, you know, it becomes more of a circus. This, you know, he had his launch monitor out on this particular hole this week, you know, just trying to hit there and measure it and see if he can do it or not. You know, he becomes a show pony more than anything for this one trick, and same as, you know, Daly obviously trying to do it years ago or whatever. I would give him a little bit more of a pass on it if it was just maybe the media making things of it, but he's talking about it a fair bit too, and he's engaging talks in it as well. So yeah, you know what, in the end you need to win the tournament. You don't need to drive the green on a par five just to inflate your ego.
Do they have a cardigan that big? I guess Kevin Stadler used to play on the tour, so I'm sure they prepared for all those type of things. All right, Bogey, what do you got?
You know what? Everybody saw, you know, Max Homa obviously won at Riviera. That tournament meant a lot to him. He gets the trophy from Tiger. You know, he said Tiger was the reason he played the game. Then we head to this week. Obviously, a number of players, mostly precipitated by the Nike staff players, that, you know, they were going to wear red and black on Sunday for the golf tournament. And you know what? He didn't have red and black. And all of a sudden, because he didn't have that, people were all over him on social media. I mean, all over. Oh, well, you should do it. Go to Target, you know, pick up the, like, they don't understand, one, how it works. And the other side of it is, look what this guy has done in the last little while on social media and engaging fans and doing things that he doesn't necessarily have to do. I mean, a lot of players, a lot of pros just disappear off of social media. They don't, you know, they don't do anything and they don't engage with the fans. But this guy has done a lot. So for people all of a sudden to turn on him and you know, start chirping him and tell him, you know, you're disrespecting Tiger, whatever, it was a bit of a joke. So, you know, just a big bogey to all those people that were, you know, hassling this guy over the fact that, you know, he's already got a contract with FootJoy. He has his logos of all his sponsors on his shirt. You can't pick that up at, you know, Walmart. It's not gonna happen.
Superstore, wherever.
Exactly.
I think people don't realize that these guys, like, unless you're the big top tier dudes, and Max isn't, for the record, like, he really isn't, they travel with literally the bare minimum outfits, and it's just like, here's my seven outfits for the week, and then I'm turning back home, and that's it. It's not like they have all these outfits, and like you said, that the logos are key. One of the funniest things, I don't even know if I told this story on the podcast, when we went to the Greenbrier, a bunch of guys took a flight from the previous tournament or wherever they were coming from into the Greenbrier, and everybody that was on the flight, all their clubs made it, but none of their luggage made it. And if Martin was saying, like, they were all at Walmart together. He's like, it's the funniest thing, because we're in small town Virginia where no one knows who any of us are, but, like, just millionaires. They're just like, what outfit can I just wear for one practice round where no one's going to know I'm not wearing my sponsor clothing for the week? And it was just funny seeing all these guys on the range wearing, like, cotton, you know, just cotton Walmart shirts and $8
polo.
Yeah, because they didn't have their sponsors gear there. And even that, like, those guys are stressing. What if some guy takes a photo of them and now it's on PGA Tour? And, like, they're a little stressed. I mean, I think their sponsors understand, but you don't know, right? Like,
no.
You know, some mutual group from Omaha that doesn't actually watch and is just puts their logo on the guy's arm.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be maybe as willing. So I have no idea. I'm with you, though. Yeah. People just don't get it.
Before we get away from that as well, what were your thoughts on that? I mean, you know, I get it. Everybody's, you know, they were part of the game. A lot of these people were because of Tiger. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that they owe to Tiger Woods, but the guy's not dead. And, you know, they're wearing red and black. And I get it. Maybe you're a super fan. You know, you had a funny tweet regarding Patrick Reed, which you may want to share.
Thank you.
But it was just kind of a weird thing to me that, you know, they were paying homage to a guy who had a car accident. And yes, you know, obviously he's, you know, you want this person to be well and alive, but, you know, he's facing surgery and facing rehab time and things like that to come back and walk and do certain things or whatever. But it seemed a little over the top.
It That might be the most controversial thing you've said on this show. I was joking that Patrick Reed was so happy everyone dressed like him on Sunday. I thought it was cool, but I didn't really care, I guess. Like, it looked kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think it would have looked real cool if everyone did it, but it was like this awkward, some people are, some people aren't, you know, like, I get why, like, for example, people are like, oh, someone's going to chirp that Justin Thomas's isn't exactly red. It's like, is that, like, to be honest with you, it wasn't close. It's pink.
Yeah.
I'm not going to chirp him. I get why he did it, but he was probably wearing that shirt regardless on Sunday.
I don't think, and this is part of the reason why, you know, I was sort of upset with the people talking about Homa. You know what? You can be thoughtful. You can be respectful of, you know, this person and what they're going through or whatever. Just wearing a shirt or wearing certain colored pants doesn't make a difference.
No, it doesn't make a difference, Scott. But I think the intent is awesome. I think it was cool. They're showing their love for the guy. He appreciated it. I mean, he was obviously going to tweet about it at the end of the day. Doesn't change anything. I don't care if somebody did or didn't do it. I don't care if someone wore pink, whatever. There's so many ways they could do it. Hey, if that was one way, I thought it was cool. The coolest one of them all was Tommy Fleetwood. He wore the mock turtleneck and he looked like an absolute idiot.
you didn't like Finau with the cap on backwards?
That was sweet. But he needed the dad sunglasses. I saw there was way better tweets out there. It was like someone should have dressed up like this. Remember, Tiger used to wear the worst jeans. He probably still does. Yeah.
The pants. The balloon pants.
Pants. Like, someone said you should have dressed like that. And no one would, because everyone would be like, oh, you're making fun of the guy.
Yeah.
Well, he would appreciate it. Tiger likes to needle. That would have been cool. If people like did all the eras of him and somebody literally tried to show up and play in jeans, that would have been... That's the stuff I want.
That could have been funny.
Yeah. My bogey of the week is...
What's your bogey for the week?
Yeah. Nick Faldo. All around. I'm done with this guy. I've been done with him for a while. And the final straw was this tweet about Ricky Fowler and how if he misses the Masters, he can now record 6 more commercials, which is a...
And he doubled down. Did you see that?
No. No, I did not.
Oh, he doubled down and obviously and then had his books with the certain Masters, the annuals or whatever. Oh, I'd rather have my name in these. And it was like, okay, just like settle down here.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm done with him. His comment was about Ricky. I remember he missed one tournament or something because he had prior engagements with his sponsors. Cool.
Sure.
Ricky Fowler isn't Nick Faldo. Mm-hmm. Like, from a player standpoint. I think we thought he might become a major champion. He probably will. I still believe he'll probably pick up a British Open or something one day. He's got the game to win at a big level. He's won player championship. He knows what he's doing, but he's not the elite of the elite. So the fact that he is focusing on making money when that's really it's a job, yeah. Right? Like, then go do that. He knows, hey, I'm actually more marketable potentially off the golf course than on it right now. Why wouldn't I go do that? So the fact he might not be in the Masters, I don't care.
Yeah.
Nick needs to shut up. He's already an awful commentator. We can get into that. Mention the guys. I know Brendan's a big Overdrive guy. They make fun of him all the time for his awful, oh my goodness. You're getting paid millions a year to drop an oh my goodness? Like, it's just
you know what?
Trash.
It might have more on authenticity as far as his comments are concerned if he ever turned down an endorsement.
Yeah.
I mean,
isn't he the one that uses the shoes that you get squares. More swing speed out of?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, he doesn't turn down many endorsements at all. So, you know, he doesn't really have anything to stand on regarding endorsements taking them more. I get it. You know, he's won 6 majors. That's fine. But, you know, you don't need to sit there and throw that out there. And it doesn't make you necessarily superior to what Ricky Fowler chooses to do in his life or how he, you know, chooses to be a professional. So, you know, making comments like that does not endear him to anyone.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. I'm done with him. He's a bogey. He's a has-been. I might be getting a little aggressive. See, that's what I mean. I was a little grumpy.
You aren't grumpy.
I mean, he's a legend, but he's a dink. All right. Honorable mention, Scotty. What do you got?
Honorable mention. I've got to talk about Johnny Manziel. I mean, you know, talking
Johnny
about
golfer.
Oh, God. you know, him talking about a 12-year plan to play professional golf. I mean, he's 28 years old. For a great example, our guest today is 29. And let's think about where he was 12 years ago. He was still an outstanding amateur 12 years ago. And this guy, although, you know, I get it, Heisman Trophy winner, you know, not a big guy against all odds as far as doing what he did. But to lay out a plan saying that you're going to be a pro golfer in 12 years, sure, fine, give it a whirl. What's his motivation for doing it? I don't know. But he's a zero or a one, you know, as far as a player is concerned.
Plus 0.4 right now or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the thing is, you know, what's your motivation? You can sit there and talk about it right now, but when you have to get in the trenches and do the work, I mean, especially when you're not making any money at golf, and I get it, you know, he's got money from other things or whatever, but I just don't see it coming to fruition. You know, hey, try it out if you want. But even the fact that when he was talking about, I'll see if I can enter some tournaments. Well, he makes it sound like you can just walk up to the gate at a PGA Tour event, you know, throw some cash down, sign your name up. It's not that easy, Johnny. I hate to tell you. And, you know, again, if you go back, he's 28 now. Go and compare him to the 1,000 other 28-year-olds that are pro golfers right now and see what they're going to be like in 12 years when he's 40 and trying to play pro golf. It's not going to amount to much more than just trying to grab some attention, grab some headlines.
I know this isn't about comparing scores. I'm actually giving this a birdie because this is going to be a ton of content if it actually goes down. This guy is all the money in the world. And people are like, he only made X amount of money playing football. Hate to break it to you, this guy didn't need to make play football ever. His dad, he's a Silver Spoon kid. His dad, I believe, is in the oil industry or something, just like probably close to a billionaire. Don't quote me on that. What do I really know? But he's going to have the money to have the best coaches in the world. He's going to have the money to enter. He could Monday enter every single Monday qualifier from now until he is 40 on the PGA Tour, and he wouldn't even blink at that money being spent. So I Here's think the there's thing, chaos. Though. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's not the first one to have lots of money to throw it at the game. So, you know, it may be a different level of money, but you only need a certain amount to, you know, to self-fund yourself all the way through there.
There's a reality show here, though, and it's coming.
Oh, God.
You know it's coming.
Oh, probably.
This
You're
guy,
right. Yeah.
There's a reason America falls in love with their college players. He was a college sweetheart, even though he's a douche. Well, he was there. Tim Tebow on the opposite end of the spectrum, right? College sweetheart, never really made it in the NFL, had a better career than Johnny Manziel did, and then went on to try to play baseball, right? And they followed him through baseball, and they cheered him on through baseball because of what he did when he won a national championship with Florida.
And he just retired last week.
And he just retired with, like, Brendan could have a better average than him out in the single A's or wherever he was. And he doesn't even know what hand he swings the club or bat with, right? Like, it's like, that's the type of thing where they believe in their people, and they're from the South. It's they're going to fall in love with them. There's going to be a story. Some network's going to come up with some sort of reality show. They're going to, maybe they bring, remember that old show with Hank Haney, where you had those projects with like Michael Phelps. It's going to be something like this. It's going to be on the Golf Channel. This is, I think, a hint. There's networks pitching this. Will he actually ever make it? Probably not, but it'll be entertaining to watch him struggle. And if he ever does make it, it's just like, wow, this guy is just a freak athlete. Chances of it happening at 28 when you really just became a plus four, I'm going to give 1%.
I think the other issue I have with it as well is that, you know, there are a ton of struggling players that are out there. And you know what? I shouldn't say struggling. I'll say players that are burgeoning, coming up in the game, that deserve the attention more than he does and deserve maybe, you know, the money that you're talking about going his way for TV coverage. And that would be a better story. But unfortunately, it's not the one that's going to get covered.
Exactly. All right, my honorable mention this week, came across this video on Reddit, and I'm going to give it a hole-in-one. We're going to play it right now. It's basically a guy sitting at the bar after a round of golf at the clubhouse, and he basically wrote a little poem about golf that he's reading out to his buddies. So why don't we just play that right now?
In my hand, I hold the ball. White and dimpled, rather small. Oh, how bland it does appear, this harmless-looking little sphere. By its size, we'd never guess the awesome power it does possess. For since we've fallen beneath its spell, we've wandered through the fires of hell. Our lives have not quite been the same since we decided to play this game. It rules our minds for hours on end. A small fortune it has made us spend. It has made us curse and cry. We hate ourselves and want to die. For it promises a thing called par, if you can hit it straight and far. To master such a tiny ball should not be very hard at all. But our desires, the ball refuses. And does exactly
as it chooses! It hawks and slices and dribbles and dies, then disappears right before our eyes! Sometimes you'll have a whim, hit a tree, take a goddamn swim, why don't you? With miles of grass upon which to land, it finds a scrawny patch of sand. It has us offering up our soul. If only we'd find the goddamn hole. It's got us whipping like a pup. We swear we're gonna get the goddamn thing up. But we take to drink to ease our sorrow. Because the ball knows we'll be back tomorrow.
That's tough content. That's we can all relate to that guy. He gets it. We've all been there. I think we all miss that, is that being able to sit around for a few beers in the clubhouse after a round. I just miss it from a winter standpoint, but also just from a COVID standpoint. Look forward to that going forward. Also look forward to watching our next guest over the next year. This guy's been on fire over the last couple of years. We've had him on this podcast two times already. Taylor Pendrith, Canadian boy, just fresh off Puerto Rico. He's so close to getting his card. So why don't we head to down to Florida, check in with Taylor, see what he's up to, and chat about the week that was in Puerto Rico. All right, folks, we'd like to welcome back to the podcast one of our favorites, fellow Canadian, Taylor Pendrith. How's it going today, bud?
Good, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So where do you want to start? I mean, it's been a while since you've been on. It's been a while, really, since you've been playing golf up till recently. I do think the best place to start, though, is our Toronto Maple Leafs are one of the best teams in hockey. How much hockey have you been watching over the last while?
Probably watch two or three games almost every night. We just hooked the laptop up to the TV and stream it. So yeah, we were down in Puerto Rico last week and we watched every game. So it's been fun. I'm happy that hockey's back and gives me something to do at night and watch. But yeah, the Leafs are looking real good.
Looking real good. Calgary, not so much, Scotty. Looking
couple
duds.
Me and Graham can cry.
They just need to get past the Sens, though. They have a very difficult time with them, which is
a problem. If that's like your bar of, we just need to get past a team that should be one of the worst teams in the league. Then you're not really going far. You got a lot more steps to go.
And you're right. And they get absolutely smoked by them. It's not even a case of just, you know, one goal games or whatever. They get like blown out of the rink.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, they've lost them twice, I think, right? Two or three times.
Yeah.
And for sure twice, but yeah, I know.
And those are must wins when you're playing a team as bad as them. I just want to keep digging in because we got a lot of listeners from Ottawa. I mentioned off top, you kind of had a pretty big break there. You know, one of the final Corn Ferry Tour events in October and then restart just a couple of weeks ago and now recently in Puerto Rico. What did you get up to over that kind of 4-month break? Come back to Canada at all?
Yeah, I had not seen my fiance in 6 months because of all the border restrictions. So that was tough. But so I came back, I think the day after I missed the cut in Orlando, and which was the final event of the year, and came home. And I was back from, I think, October like 15th till January 15th. So it was super nice to have that big long break and something that don't really get the luxury of having in professional golf, but it was nice to be back and see her, and didn't really do a whole lot, you know, obviously with the lockdowns and all that in Ontario, and stayed inside. We bought a Peloton for the apartment, so just been crushing that, and yeah, not doing a whole lot, but it was really nice to have some downtime and just kind of kind of chill and reset the mind and the body and, you know, get ready for the big long year.
Now, how different did that feel for you? You say, obviously, you don't get a chance to, you know, get a break like that, but you also get to get a break with some, you know, being at ease, knowing kind of where you're at, your position somewhat secure or whatever. Did that make it even a more relaxing time, something you could actually enjoy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whenever I take a week off, I usually don't play golf or touch the clubs for, you know, at least the first three, 4 or 5 days. I enjoy the time away from the golf course. So,
you know, a week's only 7 days long, right?
Yeah.
Well, even seven days, sometimes six. 7 days.
I'll try and go on Saturday and hit some balls, make sure I didn't lose everything. But no, yeah, it was good to have. Yeah, I didn't touch a club really, I guess, for like 2.5, 3 months almost. I played a few rounds of golf with some buddies late October, where the weather was still really nice. So that was good. But yeah, having a good year made the, you know, taking the 3 months off feel a little bit better, I guess. And yeah, just really kind of hung out with my fiance and tried to see my family a little bit. Obviously that was tough, but yeah, it was good to be home in Canada, and but definitely excited to be back. And yeah, we're 2 weeks in and feeling good.
So what's it like? I mean, your relationship, I assume, was always built around golf, and this was probably the plan, but like, I can't imagine going away for 6 months and not having a phone call every single day being like, it's time to come back. Like, how do you actually balance that? Like, what do those conversations look like? You're also planning a wedding, right? Like, this isn't easy. What does that actually look like between you and your fiance?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I guess we're kind of used to it. It's been kind of a, I guess, long distance relationship for 5 years. You know, it just, I think it makes us enjoy the time together, you know, even more. But 6 months was the longest we've ever gone. And, you know, usually in the previous years, it would be a couple of weeks and then she'd come to an event. Her job is pretty flexible where she can, you know, have 5 days off and come to an event if she wants. But obviously couldn't do that this year. She would have loved to be out there and traveling. But yeah, so it was hard for both of us. But you know, at the same time, I was busy and, you know, playing golf every day and would talk to her at nights, and she was working 12-hour shifts at the hospital. So we tried to keep busy, but yeah, it definitely sucked. And, so yeah, the 3 months together was nice. And, she's doing most of the wedding planning now, I would say, 'cause I'm down here and she's in Canada. And, yeah, I don't know when I'll see her, maybe at the wedding, I guess.
I was talking, I don't know if you know Aaron Cockerell out of Winnipeg. Yeah. He's kind of going through the same boat, except his fiance caddies for him at the same time on the European tour, and they're planning a wedding. And I'm like, how do you balance the two? And he's like, let's be honest, like, I'm not doing anything. Like, she's doing it all, to the point where, like, I saw in their calendar, it's like right up to the week prior to their wedding. They got some event, and I have no idea, like maybe Scotland or something that they're playing in, or I think it's the Czech Republic. And I was like, what are you really think you're playing at this event? And you're like, apparently so. The boss says it's like, it's funny that relationship. Have you kind of built your schedule out for up to that wedding date already?
Yes, for the most part, but the PGA Tour schedule has not been released. So generally in the last couple of years, that week in October is the China and Korea events. So obviously I wouldn't be in those as of now. And so we kind of picked that date, and we kind of had to jump on a date because, you know, people's weddings were being pushed back and it was, you know, a mess in Canada. So we just picked, October 16th, and hopefully it works out. And if I have to miss an event, that's fine, because that's totally fine with me. And hopefully I don't, and hopefully the schedule is works out good. But yeah, we'll just, a lot of unknowns still, I guess, but we'll just go from there.
Maybe that's a honeymoon awesome. In China.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Or Hawaii. Hey, that wouldn't be bad. Pick up a win early in the year and take her to Hawaii.
That'd be fine, yeah.
You talked about looking ahead to the PGA Tour season, and, you know, you've gone through the Korn Ferry Tour, and now it got extended, and, you know, you based on where you were heading anyway, you would have been on the PGA Tour this year, assuming COVID didn't happen. How hard has that been, just keeping the focus on the Korn Ferry Tour while also knowing you can compete out there? You know, we saw it at the U.S. Open. We just saw it last week in Puerto Rico. You know, probably not the finish you wanted after the hot start, but it's got to be hard keeping the focus on the Korn Ferry Tour, knowing where you're going and that you can actually do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the year last year obviously got messed up, you know, kind of there in March, and we all knew what was going to happen, and that it was going to be a rollover year. And so you just kind of, I mean, you can't really do anything about it. And, you know, they were nice enough to give the top 10 the alternate field starts, which was great to give us a little taste, I guess, of the PGA Tour. And but yeah, I mean, there's nothing that you can really do. You can't control it, and you just gotta, you know, I'm happy to still be on the Korn Ferry Tour, and you know, I'll have a whole year to play and try and chase down that number one spot. And you know, I still have a lot of things I'd like to accomplish on that tour, and getting a win is number one on that list, and haven't done that yet. So I'm gonna have, you know, 18 events to try and do that, and build and get as many points as I can, and try and secure that number one spot. But yeah, I mean, to go back of how I'm handling it, I guess, is that 3 month break was super nice for me to just kind of not do any golf, not think about golf, not talk about golf. I watched a little bit, but yeah, and just kind of prepare like any other year, and just knowing that I'll be on the Korn Ferry Tour all year and have a few PGA Tour events mixed in there and try and make the most of those. And but you know, my number one priority is Korn Ferry Tour, and yeah, like I said, trying to finish number one.
That said, for Korn Ferry Tour, you know, you're going to get these opportunities like you did at Puerto Rico to get out there. You know, getting into events before, let's say maybe it was a Canadian Open or something like that, you would just go and it's an opportunity, but, you know, it's just something that's happening for then. So do you look at it differently now when you get to like Puerto Rico and start to look around a little bit more and knowing that, hey, I'm going to be here? Does it start to feel a little bit different, or do you feel comfortable more there now than maybe you did before?
Yeah, I'd say I feel very comfortable out there. You know, last week felt awesome. First round, played great and felt very comfortable and confident going into second round and the weekend even. And, just kind of didn't really have a good week on the greens. But anyways, but yeah, I mean, there's four events that I'll get into, and, you know, I've got my points from the U.S. Open still that count for this year. So if I can, you know, kind of parlay those events into some good finishes, and, you know, who knows? It's but it is just another tournament, and I'm going to prepare like I would for any other event and try and compete. You know, I earned my way into that field, and there's no reason why I can't go and win the thing, or, you know, be in contention come Sunday. And so that's kind of what I'm just gonna go play golf, and you know, Korn Ferry Tour, PGA Tour, there's just another event, and I'm just there to compete and do the best I can.
I mean, the big difference between the two is when the direct deposit hits. What was the vibe when you checked your account after that U.S. Open six-figure paycheck hit the account?
Yeah, it was nice. yeah, it was, I mean, biggest paycheck I've ever had in my life. And I honestly had no idea how much it was going to be. And, you know, I think when I finished that round, I was like, tied for whatever 35th or whatever it was, and I was like, oh, that's good. That didn't really think about, you know, how much money it was going to be, but then it just kept going. 30th, 28th, 27th, 26th, and whatever, tied for 23rd at the end. And yeah, it's pretty amazing how much money I guess those guys play for every week. And it's definitely a big bump up from the Korn Ferry Tour, and it's, you know, it is one of the best tournaments in the world. And I guess it's nice to get rewarded for playing well, and But yeah, no, it was good.
I mean, it's obviously not the same. You go to Puerto Rico last week and, you know, the amount of money that's being handed out isn't the same in Puerto Rico for obvious reasons. But, you know, you talked about that, watching yourself bump up even though you've been off the golf course for a while. Is this something that, you know, players don't talk about, that they are? You're not actively rooting for guys to make bogeys out there, but you're watching and potentially seeing the dollars go up or down when you really can't control it at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's... The U.S. Open week, that's a whole nother story. I mean, that golf course is just so impossible. And I figured I would move up a little bit, but just, I mean, you're one swing away from making a bogey or a double bogey out there. And I played probably the best round of golf I've ever played, maybe that on Sunday. And
yeah, 70 so on Sunday at that course that week. That was insane.
Yeah, I mean, I knew how hard it was out there, and that the last, well, basically every hole on the back nine is super hard. There's no real birdie holes, so I didn't see myself dropping down further, but only moving up. And yeah, I was just watching the leaderboard and kept moving up. And but yeah, I was definitely not rooting against other players, but I know that it's very, I guess, easy to make bogeys and doubles and drop spots. And same thing on the Corn Ferry Tour. I mean, you finish some rounds, you finish and whatever, you're 15 under and you think you're in tied for eighth. And then at the end of the day, you're tied for 30th because it's, you know, it's the opposite effect, but yeah, not negative cheering anybody. That's for sure.
That's what you have to say, but it's all good.
So you're getting ready, obviously, for next year. You know, we've mentioned a lot here. I know you recently did a sponsorship deal with Turf Profit. Are you seeing more opportunities come your way, especially now that you've got some lead time heading into next year as far as sponsorships and corporate opportunities?
I wouldn't say like over, like, I mean, there's a couple of things here and there that I'm looking to, I guess, pick up. But yeah, Turf Profit is a great addition. It's you know, close to, I guess, my roots and my sister being a superintendent. And yeah, I mean, superintendents are why golf courses are so beautiful, and we play them every single week with awesome conditions. And I've seen kind of firsthand how hard they work, and you know, they're up at 4 a.m. and, you know, in the dark, raking bunkers, cutting greens and all that. And so, yeah, it's a good fit for me for sure. And this company just provides a database for superintendents to kind of manage their budget and see where they're spending money. And I think it's going to be a great fit. So, yeah, I'm super excited to get going with them.
From a player's standpoint, what do you think is the biggest misconception that the public believes about sponsorships in golf?
That's a good question. I mean, not all sponsorships are, I guess, have a dollar value, I would say. Maybe, you know, I think some of the big guys on the PGA Tour, you know, you hear about their deals where, oh, so-and-so $2 million from Nike or whatever. But, you know, I've come through the ranks for sure, Mackenzie Tour and Mini Tours and Corn Ferry Tour now. And the value of a sponsor is huge. You know, it's anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 every week to travel with flights, hotel, caddy, food, all that. And you know, a lot of professional golfers wouldn't be able to do that without sponsors, so every little bit helps. And I've been fortunate through the years to have some really, really great sponsors who have kind of paved the way for me to get where I am today. And especially in those years where I was injured and didn't have any money and didn't know what I was going to do. And but those are the ones you don't hear about. You know, the people who come along and help you out when you're down and believe in you and want to see you succeed and give you that opportunity to compete. But yeah, the reality of it is it's an expensive professional sport. That's for sure.
I guess the aspect of that, you know, you talked about, or we talked about, you know, the money that you make, but, you know, a lot of people look at that as, wow, he made this much money this week. But realistically, you know, it's stuff that you earn from years and years and years of work. You didn't make it just this week. You did all the work for the years coming into it.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, golf is I guess different than other sports, in the money aspect. You know, you see basketball players and football players and, you know, hockey players, well, maybe not young hockey players, but come out of, you know, college and sign these massive deals. Right. And golf is kind of the opposite. It's, you know, when you're starting out, you've got nothing and you're trying to scrounge up everything you can in order to, you know, pay an entry fee or pay for a flight. And then when you get to the big tour, then you get the big endorsements when you're playing for more money and all that. So it's a grind for sure. I mean, the past 5-6 years for me has been, a grind and, you know, just kind of trying to manage your money and your time and not, you know, there's been weeks in my career where, I was thinking, okay, well, I need to play good this week to play next week because I need to make a check in order to continue going. And but so it's, yeah, I don't know. It's a crazy game and it's expensive, but I guess the rewards are great. And so, yeah, you need some sponsors or some family money or something. But sponsors are huge and can't really do it without them.
Doesn't matter how much money you make as a golfer, new equipment excites us all, right? Like, you know, you're on the range out there in Puerto Rico at the U.S. Open. I'm sure everyone's bringing you stuff to try. It's 2021. What's potentially new in the bag this year?
I've got basically the same stuff as last year. I've got Srixon irons, Cleveland wedges, the new Zipcore ones. Still using my driver from last year, Ping G or 410. I've been messing around with the Srixon driver actually a little bit, and it's pretty good. It's getting close. It's a really nice sounding and feeling driver. So I've been working with that. I'm gonna keep working the next couple weeks with it and try and get it in the bag. But same putter, Odyssey, and same ball, same bag. Everything's very similar. I haven't made a lot of changes, but trying to get into that new driver, like I said. But the new Srixon irons actually are unreal. I put the long irons in play, the 4 and 5 iron, the cavity back ones, and they're, yeah, amazing.
You talked about the bag. Everyone always asks, like, what's one thing that's always in your golf bag, right? I'm actually going to take it a different direction. What is one thing you always find in your bag that Mitch is putting in the bag? Where you're like, like, this is here. Like, does he have snacks that he's putting in there that just drive you crazy or anything?
Yeah, we'll go to, like, Walgreens, like, the night before, like, Wednesday night, right? Or whatever, Walmart or something to buy, you know, protein bars and beef jerky and cashews. That's what I like to eat on the course. And I'll say, get whatever you want. You know, especially Puerto Rico, for example, like last week, they wouldn't have a Walgreens there. I didn't think they would, but yeah. Or like a Walmart or whatever. I didn't know what was there. So I loaded up on snacks before. And so I'm getting all these, like, yeah, protein bars and beef jerky and all this. And he gets raisins. He eats raisins on the golf course.
Come on.
Like, just raisins?
Yeah, like you know those little pack of, like, what are the Sun-Made?
Like Sun-Made?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
is he in grade 5 now? Or is he going to grade 6?
You get, like, 12 raisins in a box.
Yeah. He'd want a hole. Did you get his juice boxes, too?
Yeah, I know. No, it's just, like, Coke. He drinks Cokes and raisins. I mean, hey, that gets him through. He's the machine.
I mean, he's doing something right. You had a great year, yeah. The two of you together, so that's awesome.
Yeah, Sun-Made raisins.
Sun-Made raisins. It. Maybe that's what I gotta do. Maybe I'll get another shot out there. Buy some raisins. Who knows?
I feel like you need to eat a lot of raisins to get
be hungry.
Calorie intake that you need that you're gonna burn on the golf course.
how different are the snacks at a PGA Tour event compared to a Korn Ferry Tour event?
That's a good question. I don't usually usually I just bring my own stuff, honestly. So I don't know. I don't even know if they had anything last week. I feel like they might have bananas and apples and stuff. Corn Ferry Tour event. Some of the events later in the season are sponsored by grocery stores, like the ones out west, which is the best. Oh,
yeah. Albertsons.
Yeah. Yes, they got and the Winco. And it's, I mean, yeah, whatever you want on the first tee. There's bags of jerky, there's Rice Krispie Squares, there's protein bars, there's everything you could want, which is pretty nice. But like, yeah, like I usually pack my own, I guess, bag for the day. But yeah, I haven't really had much experience on the PGA Tour snack table, but I'll have to report back to you guys. Yeah, I'll get back to you.
I'm interested too. They just added or just announced a new tour event in Las Vegas, going to be out at Paiute Resort north of Vegas, which is a cool spot. But I'm wondering what the snacks and what the hospitality is going to be like with that.
Scott, I don't think a lot of people are going to stay in.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are going to stay in Mesquite. I think they're going to stay in Vegas proper. But is that an event that you'd be excited to play in?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I've only been to Vegas a few times, and I really like that style of golf, deserty kind of style. So I'm pumped to go. Yeah, it's on my schedule. I'll be playing there for sure. Yeah, it should be good. The golf course looks awesome, and yeah, to grab MGM as the title sponsor, that's pretty cool. So it'll be a good first year event in Vegas, and hopefully be there for many years.
I'm sure they'll give you a coupon to play in the casino if someone's there. So. What table are they going to find you at?
Oh, I would hope they would do something like that. Yeah, or a discount or something at the hotel.
$2 off of the buffet.
Yeah. I would be probably blackjack, maybe ultimate Texas Hold'em. I do enjoy that game.
All right. I used to be a casino dealer back in the day. The Ultimate Texas Hold'em, that one's always fun to deal because it's just heartbreaking, right? You just flip at the end, and
it's heartbreaking. But the I like the potential of the big payouts. You know what I'm saying? So that's keeps me interested.
That makes sense. Well, we'll get one more thought. Just Mike Weir, obviously, big resurgence of his game recently, making the cut at the Masters, and then the last week almost picking up a win, just getting real close. Ultimately, that guy had a chip in on him, which just was unfair for all of Canada. Mm-hmm. But what are your thoughts on Mike and the resurgence of his game lately?
Yeah, it's great to see. I was rooting for him there. We were watching it after we finished up in Puerto Rico, and looked like he had it going. Yeah, it looked like he was playing some really nice golf, and just unfortunate to come out on the other end of it. But it's nice to see him back competing and having a good time on the Champions Tour. And, you know, I think he'll be a weapon out there. His wedge game is so good, and putting. And I think the golf course is probably fit him perfectly. And so yeah, it'd be great to follow him there, and hopefully he can get some wins. But yeah, just nice to see him back playing good and healthy and everything. So it's I think a lot of Canadians were tuned in on the weekend to would have been awesome to see him get a victory. But you know, maybe next tournament. Looks like he's trending in the right direction. So yeah, it's exciting.
I agree, and I think the same thing's happening with you. We're all rooting for you to get a win. It's just around the corner, and we're looking forward to seeing you out on the PGA Tour full-time next year. Taylor, as per usual, thank you, and we're looking forward to following you for the rest of the year, and good luck.
Right on, guys. Yeah, good chatting with you.
Taylor for that interview. Time as usual, he was heading to Gligg's place, Michael Gligg's house, for a little barbecue, but he had to set up the barbecue first. So.
That's a tough look, eh? When you get invited over and have to, you know, put everything together.
It's funny just to think about it. Like, neither of these guys are rich, right? You know, like they're still learning the way of the tour and stuff, but you know, if people had walked by and like, hey, I paid to watch those guys play last week and they can't even pay to get a barbecue set up, just think I just, it's a funny image.
They're just a couple of Canadian dudes.
I was chirping him off air before we got on, asking him when he was going to make the Daniel Berger hype video for the boat. And he said, I can't even chirp that guy's boat. That boat is nasty. Fair enough. Hey, one way to get a free boat, you know, throw some videos out on Instagram and hype up where you bought it from. Nobody did that with my pontoon boat. Maybe it's because it doesn't go fast enough. I don't know. Maybe I'll do a hype video this summer of me on my pontoon boat.
That could be funny, actually.
Yeah. I also don't have Daniel Berger's. He's into fitness. I'm loosely not.
Whoops. Whoops. Is that your downfall?
Yeah, that's one of the few. It would just be actually just me drinking beer on the boat, and I'd probably get fined. Clearly it's against the law.
Everybody else is looking for an endorsement, and you get a provincial offense.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah, I go to jail for posting my own hype video. That's sweet. Before we got going here, you mentioned Trackman's in the house.
Yeah, Trackman's arrived, one of the key pieces for my simulator, putting it together. So that showed up on the doorstep yesterday. So, yeah.
Were you kind of a kid on Christmas?
Pretty much, as we've talked about in here before, it's a pretty big investment. So, it was, I was definitely excited, although it was a little nervous because, I heard the driver come to the door. You're supposed to be set up so that you're going to sign for it for sure. But he was partway down the step. And when I opened the door, he just kind of pointed towards it. So, 30K boxes sitting on the front doorstep wouldn't have been good if a porch pirate had grabbed that. I would not have been a happy camper, no, that's for sure.
That would have been frustrating. How does your daughter feel that you bought a Trackman instead of paying for her to go to college?
Well, as I've mentioned before, that was one of the that was part of the stipulations as far as
she has to get a job and start buying groceries.
No, just the investment and stuff in it. It was a separate little thing that I'd done over the years to have that money put away for that. But I figured we paid for braces twice for her, so it's about time that maybe I get a little orange box to play some golf on.
So how long? I need to know. You want me to come over next week, play around, or where are we thinking right now?
I've got to finish up some things in the physical facility first, as far as the projector and a few different things. But we're getting close. We're getting really close. And what's cool is we've got a space there as well that, we could probably record a couple of podcasts in there too, just for fun.
All right. So again, I get a re-ask question, so next week I'm coming over?
Let's go 2 weeks, and just for safety's sake, how's that?
Sure, I accept that. Scotty, what do you want to get into now? Should we hit the mailbag? I think let's say this mailbag is sponsored by the Flexic Open. If you haven't signed up for the Flexic Open, that is coming up May 2-4 weekend. Long weekend in May in Kempville, Ontario. No better place to be. A lot of great prizes this year. Signups are coming in fast by the looks of things.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're definitely in, thanks to the great people at Adidas and TaylorMade to take care of the registration gifts. That always helps out as far as the event. But I would say we're more than half full now and more people coming in all the time. And, they're coming in from all over the place. And I look through the list, a lot of new players. Nice. So anybody that's been a regular, definitely get signed up ASAP. I know you're going to get your game ready for it and get ready not to dunk a ball off the first tee, right?
All right. Okay. Let's settle down.
Well, I didn't see it.
Two years ago, I was fine. I was a little hungover both days, a little bit. Second day, I think I needed a cart or else they would have had an ambulance come find me out there. So this year, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So flagstickopen.com, sign up. Yeah. Same price as always, same great course.
Yeah, it notched up just a hair, but not much, but still pretty much in the same ballpark as far as entry fee. But at Equinel, obviously, they're great as far as the house. Everybody enjoys that golf course, and that's part of the reason why people come back as well. So as you mentioned, flagstickopen.com if you want to check that out and get signed up.
I love it. All right, Scotty, let's hit the mailbag.
All right, we got a full one this week. Thanks for everybody for getting them in as quickly as possible. Got 8 to throw at you here. Let's get started with a familiar name, somebody we've talked about a fair bit on this pod, but this is a different angle to it. So Patrick Reed right now currently doesn't have an equipment contract. He is a free agent. Someone asked, in view of recent events, do you think any equipment manufacturer would sign him?
Of course. Absolutely. The guy's on TV every Sunday.
Yeah.
I hate to bring it to you. They don't sponsor them because of their personalities. No. They sponsor them because, hey, this guy's on TV, and then I can now post an ad, and, hey, I'm going to go buy it at the store. And that's my reason. It's not that he's, for the lack of better terms, like an idiot and people don't like him. It's just he doesn't want a sponsorship right now. He found clubs he likes. I'm sure he's being paid for something. He obviously has a Titleist ball sponsor. But yeah, absolutely. He will have a sponsor again. He will have the full bag. These guys like money, and so do the equipment manufacturers. So yes, 100%.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that one. Again, it's not a case of it's not a case of them trying to avoid being on the TV. That's for sure for these manufacturers. That's what they want. And you know, he's a winning player. He's a player that gets attention as well. So they're. Although there's a contingent of people that don't like him, there's also a big contingent of people that do really like him. So, and they like what he does on the golf course. So I would say there's definitely going to be some value here for a manufacturer to do it. Maybe they don't make a major big deal out of it. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it slides into his bag as far as the equipment or so forth. But again, there's value there for a manufacturer. So definitely, I think he will be signed by someone at some point if he chooses to go down that route.
Yeah, I could see Titleist sniffing around. He's wearing that hat. You know, the equipment's up his alley. Who knows? It's just a prediction. Don't hold me to it. PXG? All right, we'll see. PXG kind of fits his mold, right? Like bold and in your face. So who knows?
Could be. You never know. All right, on to the next one. Best meal at a golf course, breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
I'm a lunch guy. I like playing early, having a nice lunch, and a little beer with lunch, and then heading home. I find dinner, that's when the guilt comes in. Unless you're like away, right? Like you and I have gone on a couple golf trips. That's nice, having a good dinner after at the golf course. Shout out to TPC Toronto for giving us just a great meal after a round of golf. That was awesome. But yeah, I'm the lunch guy. Dinner when you are at your home course and you're away from home, that's when the guilt kind of, you get the text, you're staying for dinner. Oh, so the 5 hours,
yeah,
the 5 hours wasn't enough. So you're doing dinner. That's when you get those texts.
Yeah, exactly. I find dinner, unfortunately, you're right. You're either there too long or you're already exhausted from playing around. You just want to get the heck out of there. And I find too, if you say, hey, we'll stick around for dinner, usually if you got a foursome, two of them have to go.
Yeah.
So you end up not having that group that's there.
Everybody can stay for dinner on the first tee, and it's never 100% by the 18th.
Exactly. So you're right. You got them captive when it comes to lunch. I'm a breakfast guy. I don't mind being there really early and get to the golf course and kind of get settled for the day, grab coffee. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of golf courses that serve breakfast. I wish more of them did. But even if it was something like a bacon roll or whatever that they do in the UK, but the chance to even just get there early, get breakfast in you, have a snack and then get to the tee box and on the range and get warmed up. So I'm a breakfast guy over anything else at the golf course. All right, here's an interesting one. I love the pro at my club and I try to support him, but everything he sells is the best, in quotation marks, according to him, even when I know it is not suitable for me. How do I handle buying clubs away from the club, then have him see me with them?
So I believe you need a tender that is accepted in the country you live in, and you use that to buy those, and then you use the clubs. And you let that person deal with it. And then he can ask why you bought him elsewhere. Like, what?
That would be the easy way to say it, I guess.
Yeah, just go buy your golf. Like, you know, like if you don't like the salesperson, then go buy them elsewhere where you do and you trust them. And then maybe they'll learn something. And like, they're not going to kick you out of the golf club.
No, I don't think so. I think the issue here the person probably has, more than anything I've seen in the industry as well, is the fact that, unfortunately, a lot of pro shops at golf courses tend to align with one brand a lot of times, or maybe two brands. And unfortunately, as a result of it, the pro, as opposed to looking out for maybe the golfer, you know, they're looking out for the fact that they sell that brand and it's the best and, you know, you should have it. But I think things have turned around in the industry that way over the years. And you know, a lot of shops have realized they can't carry a lot of different products, so that they tend to go deep with one brand. But unfortunately, this is the opposite side of it. It's the thing that happens. You get in this situation where the person feels bad about it and says, hey, you know what? You know, I want something else. So I think you're right. They just have to be honest with them and say, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I went through a fitting. I tested these clubs, so forth, you know, over here, did this with a fitter, whatever the case may be. Give them an opportunity to sell it to you. I mean, that's the other side of it. Even though that they might not sell the product actively and have it in the shop, they quite possibly have an account with the company. So if you're doing it based on just lowballing price, that might get a little bit sketchier. But if they're your pro and maybe you're friendly with them or whatever, just give them an opportunity to make the sale. And that would probably be the easiest way to approach it. And then, you know, they'll admit it. If obviously they don't have the product or they can't sell it to you because they don't have an account, they should be understanding as far as you going and buying something elsewhere.
Also, the question was worded with it started by saying, I love the pro at my club. Well, if you love them, then you got to give them hard love. Tell them you don't trust them. Because well, that's what it you know what? Like.
Yeah, but you're right. And I think that it has become an issue where you do see it on social media too, where, you know, all sorts of people are all of a sudden saying, oh, this brand is the best. Well, okay, that's great. I know you appreciate your relationship with them and so forth, but that doesn't mean it's the best for your customer. And that's where you have to be a little bit more objective as far as dealing with your customer. And, you know, we had Ian Fraser on here from TXG. That's one of the reasons why they're successful. Mm-hmm. They're agnostic, and then it's about the best performance for the customer, not about the, you know, the most clubs that you can sell for a particular brand.
Bingo.
All right, next one, putting instruction book recommendations. I see a really scared look in your face.
YouTubes. Have you tried the YouTubes?
Yeah, there's a lot of them that are out there, obviously. I think a basic one for a lot of people to look at would probably be just look at Dave Pelz's Putting Bible. There's still a lot of good content that's in there. There's a lot of nuggets that you can dig out of it, and it's a pretty deep book. So, you know, start there and then go elsewhere after that. But I think that's your home base. Have a look at Dave Pelz's Putting Bible.
Saw some putting tips on TikTok the other day.
Did you?
So
any
maybe,
good?
Maybe try TikTok. I don't know. No, probably not. Yeah. It's like everyone on that app. It's like it is the most addicting app out there right now. And yeah. I'm it's past like my age. So like, even me being on there, I feel like the old person. So like, maybe you should avoid it. But like, everyone on there wants to be somebody. And there's like a D1 athlete talking about how like, here's what you need with your swing stuff and all that. And so the putting stroke was his one. So maybe check that out. Yeah. I don't know.
I just prefer content where the person is really genuine about helping people rather than just getting attention for themselves.
Yeah, building a base and
yeah that's exactly it. You know, you can see through that a lot. All right, I think we touched on this one already a little bit, but you know, I think we can talk about it a little bit more. What's the career win ceiling for Colin Morikawa in your opinions?
See, the ceiling's hard. I think people like after last week and this last year, I'm high. Like, what is this win number four?
Yeah.
So like, that's real good. And if you look at DJ, DJ's a superstar, right? And DJ just got over what, the 20,
so he's 20 a 24. Win mark.
Yeah, he's like 24, and then he had 4 in the last year or whatever. Like, if you hit 20, you're basically walking into the Hall of Fame anyway. You're a lifetime member, you know, all that type of stuff. Like, that's a superstar. That's where I'm kind of at right now. A couple majors, 20 wins, you know, that's a win or two a year across, you know, a 15 year span. You know, maybe you get up towards the 30, but like, let's go with 20. Injuries are going to happen. He's a young dude. Yeah, he's got everything going right now, and he's been on this really hot stretch, but we see it all the time. Jordan Spieth, if you asked us this question in 2017 after we won that Masters, well, how many wins? We probably were talking, like, remember being on the Golf Channel back then? Like, is he going to pass Jack's record?
Yeah, exactly.
18 wins. And this guy hasn't won anything since.
Yeah.
So, like, who knows? Anything could happen with Colin Morikawa. There's a lot going on. But I legit think we got a superstar in the making here that we got to look at investing in this guy a lot. And let's give him the time of day. Let's move on from some of these people we tried to make superstars when it's like, we got one here. We really got, like, this guy might go down. Like, if he keeps this iron play up for the rest of his career, like, he'll be right beside Tiger with, like, the best iron players of all time. Like, that, his irons are so good. They sound so good.
Such a steady player too. And, you know, we've documented as far as him, his ability to make cuts and be consistent. There's a lot of great elements that are here. There's a lot of elements there too. When you look at his swing, it doesn't look like something that's going to be really hard on his body as well, mm-hmm. which obviously helps from an endurance standpoint. And you need that endurance to stick around a long time, to have those opportunities to win those events. So I'm right where you're at, really. That 20, you know, that ceiling, I'd say 20 is a good shot at it. Two majors, he's already got one, he's already got a WGC. So I mean, that those are major pieces right there when you're talking about Hall of Fame type careers, that, you know, you get two majors, get a players, a WGC, you know, stack in another 16 wins, he's pretty much on pace. So you know, are we predicting that? Not really. We're just kind of saying what's the probable ceiling, I think, more than anything. And but he could break through that. You just never know. But it's a hard game, that's for sure. But
I'll say this. Yeah. The worst bet you can make on the Masters, though.
What's he at? Do you know?
I don't know. It's probably too high. Like, I can look it up. Just from the standpoint of, you're getting your worst value, and people have very short memories of that. Remember on this podcast, I said, you want to make some money, you bet him to miss the cut at last year. I don't know if he actually did miss the cut at the Masters last year, but he finished like T6. Like, if he made it, it was like, you know,
barely
bottom of the made cut people. So it's a place you need to get to know. Putting is his weakness. We know that. And that's all. That's the biggest thing out there. He's currently at, you know, it's actually not too bad. 26-1. Guys like Patrick Cantlay and Patrick Reed are ahead of him. Jordan Spieth, that's 17-1 right now.
Oof.
Yeah. So I got another bet to finish up with. This is a bet I love. I saw on Twitter today. I'm loving for this week. So we'll get to that at that point. But yeah, don't hold off on calling for the Masters. But I do agree. Couple majors finishing. You finish with three majors and 20 wins. You know, Hall of Fame career anyway. So. Yeah. He's a player.
I think US Open is next for him.
Yeah.
All right. On to the next one here. Based on the climate on some social media platforms, do you think some pro golfers will eventually leave social media entirely?
Haven't they?
You know what? I think that's what people don't understand, is that if you look at the accounts, even for a lot of people, they're not run by the players. No. And you can see that their social media managers do a terrible job at it. So,
See all the preloaded tweets on what day was it? Tuesday, whatever day Tiger got in the car crash, literally all those preloaded sponsored tweets that went out. So like, they're all on their playing their practice
ones.
scheduled ones, and it's just like, this is why you don't do it. And now it's like, is this going to hurt me more? The big names will always have a presence, just like they do in any sport, because of those sponsor things. But the people that like to just have fun out there, then maybe. But I don't think a lot of them actually use it the way you think they use it in the first place.
No, and I'm drawing a blank here as far as the name of the player, but I think it was an LET Tour player or maybe an LPGA Tour player who basically said, based on the comments that Max Homa was getting and the grief that he was getting, she was going to basically bail for the month of March just for her own mental health. So, you know what? Some will, some always will, but like you said, the top ones are always going to have some sort of presence, whether it's personal or not, but in a lot of see people post stuff that comes out, you know, from a corporate account that you can tell, and you see so many people responding to it, and they think they're actually talking to the athlete. And yeah, that's just sort of disingenuous, unfortunately, but that's just the way things are.
Now, I have also seen, though, like, they're all on it and they're reading. We were playing a practice round one time, and they all had their phones and they're chatting about, oh, do you see this and this guy and all that type of stuff. And they're aware, but the actual tweeting and stuff doesn't happen. I think they use Instagram a little bit more than, but who knows?
Yeah. And there's a lot of viewing. They might not do the posting, but they might, as you said, they might just be reading it just to have a look to see what's going on and leave the posting up to someone else.
They're just sitting in hotels. Yeah, for sure. So they got to do something.
All right, on to the next one here. A preferred sauce choice at Ancaster Wild Wings.
Yeah,
this obviously is a follow up from our podcast that we had a couple years ago at the RBC Canadian Open Week with Martin Trainer, which we recorded in the Buffalo Wild Wings in Ancaster, Ontario.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the Canadian Open and the news of like. It's not looking good right now. I mean, I know vaccines are changing and things could change. Weird that we're making these calls this far in advance, but from a PGA Tour standpoint, they need to know for sure this far in advance because it's not easy to just replace a tournament, but kind of crappy news the last week that it's not looking good.
No, and we're seeing that in a lot of other situations as well. The European Tour is looking at hosting three events in Florida right after the Masters, two events that were supposed to be in Spain and one that was in Portugal, I believe, just because there's limitations as far as people traveling into those countries, not only quarantines, but, you know, particularly people from the UK and South Africa being banned from actually traveling into Spain. So there's definitely a lot of considerations that are happening here. And it's not as simple as people think. And unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, think this is all about, oh, it's a national open, it's got to happen, and sorry folks, it's a PGA Tour event. Although you're romantic about, you know, being the Canadian Open, they'll do what they have to do to either make this happen or it'll just, you know, disappear for the year again.
Yeah, I think we, you know, you've seen these ideas of playing them in different, the Canadian Open at, you know, Sea Island or wherever, Hilton Head, wherever you want to do it. Yeah, and or like the idea of doing it in Buffalo, which is, it's just not going to be the same regardless, but you got to do a tournament and RBC's got the money and the PGA will help out RBC. They've done a bunch. So we will see. I don't think this is the end. We have no idea where we're going with the vaccine, and that could change things. And I think we need to get moving fast. The States is bypassing us. We talk about it all the time. We're not the experts, but hopefully it happens. Kind of crappy news, to say the least. Hopefully that isn't the case, but it will be back. I remember seeing some talk, is this the end of the Canadian Open? It's like the longest serving tournament.
1904.
Yeah, right? It's so, like...
Yeah, one of the oldest events on the PGA Tour. One of the oldest opens in the world.
Yeah, it will stay around. It's one of the best tournaments, and it just sucks for me that they went on such a high of... We talked about, that was one of the best Canadian Opens of all time, with Rory winning it, him showing up there, him embracing the fans and all that, just to turn it around and lose it for not only one, but potentially 2 years, just sucks. That's all it is. Yeah. There's nothing else. But back to the original question, for me, spicy garlic is my preferred sauce choice at Ancaster, Buffalo Wild Wings. Great location. Check it out. You know, our guy down there hooking us up. Home court advantage when we walk in there. Great place. I can't wait to get back to Ancaster, Buffalo Wild. That's just down the street from my in-laws, basically. So I'm looking forward to getting back to that place.
All right. I'm a honey barbecue guy. You can't go wrong with the original Buffalo. I'm interested in trying out the mango habanero. That's one of my other ones
as well. You're a spice guy, though.
No, not really, but I'm sort of having a look at that one. If anybody is really interested in kind of what all the sauces are like, check out Good Mythical Morning on YouTube, where you've got two guys that go through and do testing a lot of foods. In one show, they did every single sauce from Buffalo Wild Wings. They tested and rated them all. So if you want to check that out.
Was that the top one? Is that the spoiler?
No, you were actually fairly close. I'll tell you, garlic parmesan, I think, was in the top three. They crowned a top three.
Yeah.
But I won't give it away.
People the spice. I need the spice, but I like that garlic. Yeah. What I've been doing with my wings lately, especially if you just order from a pub, everywhere has blue cheese. So I go hot in blue cheese, and you literally get them put both the sauces in a bowl. They toss it in that. That yeah. Now I'm getting hungry. Now I'm getting
game
hungry.
Changer. Yeah. Game changer. All right, last question here. This one's fairly local to us. That's why we'd probably tackle it. But best value golf course from Belleville to Prescott, Ontario.
The more and more I played around and I've gone to, you know, Florida and Arizona and all of these areas, you can't beat the value at Black Bear Ridge. That place is a high-end golf course that's in perfect condition. And for this area, it's one of the more expensive tee times for you to just go walk. But if you actually look at it in comparison to going to Toronto, where, you know, you're talking under $100 still with a cart.
Oh,
where,
yeah.
$100 is a walking rate at like a Muni in Toronto, not a great golf course. So it's a great value. I mean, if you're talking about maybe that you're actually looking like real good values, you know, I love Trillium Woods. That's right beside that one too. And even Timber Ridge, which is up near the Brighton area. I love the layout there. They're putting a lot of work into those golf courses.
Yeah, they're redoing the bunkers there at Timber.
Exactly. So those are the ones from the Belleville. If we're heading closer towards Prescott, if you can get on Brockville Golf and Country Club, fun, different track.
Yeah.
Usually good rates. And then obviously we got our friends over at Smugglers Glen as well, that one of our favorites. What about you?
Keep your putts below the hole at Brockville Country Club for sure. It's a tough one if you get above the hole, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna head in another direction of golf courses as far as you know, something that's real value and a lower price than anything else. We're talking about a golf course that is professionally designed. It's actually had, you know, a quality designer that made it, but something where, you know, a lot of people haven't played before, which is Green Acres, which is just outside Yananoque, Ontario. 9-hole golf course, bent grass greens. Again, quality design, but I think it's $34 to play 18 holes there. So again, you're going to have to play the same 9 twice, but, you know, never super, super busy, but good conditions, a decent design, fun to play. So I think there's some value in that.
We should do a list of best cottage country golf courses. I think that's an article that might be my next article out on flagstick.com, because there's some good ones. Like if you think of like Rivendell just north of Kingston, or Perth is real good for like small town. Like it is a cottage town. My cottage is up in that area, and it's a fun little track. So a little fun idea, cottage country, where hey, I want to go find a cottage for the week. Maybe I'll combine it with here's some Airbnbs in the area for, you know, a good stay and play. And yeah, I think that's a cool idea. Instead of these big name golf courses, ones that people don't often know but are fun to go play.
Yeah, there's definitely no shortage of them in the region. And unfortunately, a lot of people pay attention to certain names, don't hear a lot about some of the other ones. And as you said, they're just as fun to play. So that's the mailbag for this week. Really appreciate everybody sending in those questions. Keep them coming. We'll open up the mailbag again next week. And we look forward to answering everything you can throw at us, food, golf, or otherwise.
Yeah, I like the food questions lately. I'm hungry, though.
Making me hungry. Yeah, I'm the same thing.
Hungry, it's like, and thirsty. All right, Scott, we hit the mailbag. That's every week. Every week we also hit the tip of the week. So let's wrap it up. Hit the tip of the week.
Yeah, one thing that people have to consider when they're talking about their golf swings is, you know, a lot of people get caught up in looking at things on the internet. They hear, oh, let's do this, let's do that. You know what? There's a difference between functional and optimal in the golf swing. So sometimes when you hear things, yes, that's optimal as far as the way that you're supposed to do things. But in the end, you play golf. You have to get the golf ball in the air. You have to control it. You have to do what you're supposed to be doing. So a lot of times some coaches, unfortunately, follow trends. They hear a lot of things that are happening. We hear things like shallowing the club, which was a big like 2 years ago. Speed was big last year. But sometimes when you actually look at it, some things are actually happening that are good for people, and they don't necessarily need to follow those trends. So take for an example, you know, you take a golfer who has a like severely inside takeaway that, you know, you would call it really, really shallow. Well, that person doesn't to shallow the club anymore. You know, if that person takes it away inside and then takes the club up over the top, guess what? When they're over the top, they're still shallow. So they don't necessarily, although it might not look like what they're you want them to be doing, really in the end, it's functional. So if they were measured and you look at it, they're actually doing some great things. If you take that same golfer and you make them shallow the club more, they may be burying the club in the ground on their way through. So don't get caught up in some of the trends, some of the things that you see online just because they're cool and everybody should be doing them. You need your coach to work with you to make your golf swing optimal by being functional, not just optimal because it's following a trend.
I love it. That's a good tip, Scotty. We appreciate it. Go see your PGA professional. They'll know. You know, some of them have TrackMans, like our guy right here. I mentioned my favorite bet of the week. I'm not even going to claim this as my own. David Byrne threw out this tweet earlier today. David, who's been on this podcast, was just recently on episode 100, and he said, a sneaky good bet this week is Jazz, Jenna, and the one I'm going
to... Yeah, Jenna to one another. The bet should be who can pronounce it.
Jane Watt and Ond. Jane Watt and Ond. Let's call it that. He is a member at Bay Hill.
Yes. Yeah.
His odds to win the tournament are 300-1 to 1. He's probably not going to win. Let's say the first win, it's going to be tough. But you top get 10. There's some good odds on him, top 10 and top 20. Top 20, you're still getting 10-1 odds, which I like. And then you're also getting 23-1 for top 10. So there's my bet of the week. If you hear this before he tees off, go find that. And also, if he's sneaking in there, like looking good early, and you're listening to this podcast, you know, maybe that's when maybe you look at those top 10, top fives. Might not have great odds, but watch out for Jazz this weekend. Scotty, any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
No, all good here. Got a few fun games working on for next week that we can work on. We'll work into some of the shows. We'll call it appearing at the Ontario Golf Expo next week. So some of the content for Tee Talk is being highlighted during the Ontario Golf Expo, which is basically a compilation of all the golf shows in Ontario. It's being held virtually and Tee Talk has a presence there. So we're happy to be kind of working with them a little bit, and they're going to showcase some of the work we've done in the last little while, some of the interviews that we've done, including the one that you'll hear today, and then one that we have prepared for next week as well. So looking forward to seeing our work exposed to a different audience as well.
Cool. Looking forward to it. I hope they're fans and we can get bigger audience out there, more listeners, more sponsors, any sponsors. We bring it up, you know, we're looking. If you want to sponsor pod, let us know. Looking forward to it. Scotty, look forward to getting to that that simulator in the next couple weeks. Go get your TrackMan set up. You're trying to rush out of here. I know you just want to get it set up and see the numbers. You're itching to hit balls too. So why don't we wrap it up there? Thank you, Taylor Pendrith, for joining us. We're looking forward to watching him over the next couple weeks and months leading up to his start on the PGA Tour in September, October-ish, or whenever their season wraps up. Looking forward to that. He's clearly excited. Outside of that, we got the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week. Always a fun tournament. You know, I was watching highlights of Tiger just absolutely destroying people there year after year, making bombs on 18. Unfortunately, we're not seeing Tiger there this year, but, you know, I was surprised. Jordan Spieth, this is the first time he's ever played there.
Yeah, I know, which is really bizarre. Really just bizarre.
Weird,
when you think
weird,
about it.
Weird. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a great layout. You and I have both been to that golf course. Yep. It's an awesome place in Florida. Looking forward to Honor the King. 5 years. 5 years since Arnold Palmer passed away. Feels like yesterday.
Yeah, hard to believe. And and the LPGA is back in action this week as well. They've got another full field event with the Drive On Championship up at Golden Ocala. So definitely going to have some golf to watch this weekend.
All right, Scotty, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Off to get some wings, maybe an Arnold Palmer or two. And we'll chat with everybody next week.